You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, December 23rd, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be
a Festivus for the rest of us.
That's right. It is Festivus. Happy Festivus to everybody out there, as is our tradition here at 420 Radio and the Russ Melville Show. Festivus is our final show of the year. So thank you everyone who's been following us in 2014 and coming up in 2015. We've got all sorts of surprises and improvements. The least of which is, hey, check out the new 720p high definition. I really hope you like it. We worked hard on getting this to work for you. And today we've got even more previews of how the show will look in 2015. Excuse me. And for those of you listening on the podcast that are saying, what screen? You can watch us live if you want to see our webcast of this at 3 p.m. weekdays on 420radio.org. We're streaming through Ustream at 720p high definition, so it's looking really good. Also coming up in 2015, we are putting together the 420 Radio app, so you can take us with you on the go. Right now, you can listen to us through the TuneIn Radio app. If you go to TuneIn, just look up 420 Radio in their search bar. You'll find us, and we'll bring you the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week live stream, bringing you replays of marijuana podcasts from all around the world, and YouTube shows. We show those on the video screens as well. I know it's strange to say video and 420 Radio, but the point of that is that we will always be dedicated to bringing you at least a radio stream, something that you can listen to while you're working. Video is just icing on the cake. Video is just a little bit of extra. We're not trying to be a TV network in any way. We just happen to get some videos from time to time, like to show them to you. So make sure you join us and some of our other friends, including Danny Danko, Jorge Cervantes, Coral Reefer is on our network, Subcool and Ms. Jill, so many others, Cannabis Cure in the UK, Denton Ramsey down in Texas, Dean Becker, Doug McVeigh from the Drug Truth Network and Drug Policy Facts, Lanny Swerdlow from California, registered nurse out there. We're going to be adding the Boston Pot Report, so we'll get some East Coast voices added to the network, and plenty more. Michigan Planet Green Trees will be joining us, and plenty more. So I'll be working throughout this Christmas break, this holiday break, and getting the new lineup posted at 420radio.org. Check out the programs page and the schedules page to find out more. All right, coming up on today's show, we've got a radical rant at the end of the show. Of course, it's Festivus, so we have to have an airing of the grievances. And I'm going to end with a grievance against the Houston grand jury that has failed to indict a police officer for the shooting of an unarmed black man who looked suspicious. A lot of suspicious coincidences in this story. We'll get to that at the end of the show. For our cannabis community chat today, we're going to end 2014 with a salute to those we lost in 2014, people that were part of our family here at the Russ Melville Show, as well as some celebrities we lost who had a tie to marijuana or drugs. We'll talk about that at half past. We've also got a drug war data mining segment for you today, a great interactive feature on the Oregonian here, where they've put the Oregon precinct by precinct voting results for GMO voting for governor and for Measure 91. I'm sorry, GMO labeling, governor and Measure 91. So you can find out precinct by precinct who voted for legal pot, GMO labeling, and which governor. Plenty more coming up as well behind the headlines. We've got that and the 420 Radio News coming up next. So stick around and happy Festivus.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station. Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. The Hollywood Hemptress Hour, replaying Tuesdays at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, December 23rd, 2014. Congress has prohibited the Justice Department from interfering with laws in California and other states that allow for the medical use of marijuana. A day after President Obama signed the new law last week as part of a government spending bill, U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer of San Francisco asked a federal prosecutor whether the charge would affect the sentencing of a Mendocino County pot grower who pleaded guilty to charges requiring at least 5 years in prison. When the grower was charged with illegal cultivation in 2012, the judge noted, federal law barred any evidence of medical use, but the new law might make that information relevant now. In fact, the grower's lawyer has said some of his client's plants were for medical patients. A day earlier, another judge in the same courthouse postponed the sentencing of a Humboldt County man who claimed his pot crop was all for medical use in compliance with state law. Nebraska and Oklahoma last week asked the U.S. Supreme Court to toss out portions of Colorado's pot legalization law. The states contend that Colorado's law, and especially Colorado's licensing and regulation of marijuana stores, violates the U.S. Constitution's Supremacy Clause, which says the federal law reigns when state and federal laws are in irreconcilable conflict. By U.S. law, states suing other states must file their cases directly to the U.S. Supreme Court. Because they originate with the Supreme Court, such cases are known as original proceedings. Even among original proceedings, the Nebraska-Oklahoma case is unusual. Most original cases involve disputes over borders or water rights. Those cases often take years or decades to resolve. The Supreme Court this month issued an order in an original case that it first decided in 1947. A 2008 report on water lawsuits involving Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado noted that the case's litigation history stretched back more than a century. A judge ordered a smartphone medical pot delivery app to stop operating in Los Angeles Tuesday after attorneys for the city argued the company was violating the provisions of a voter-approved measure limiting medical marijuana dispensaries. An attorney for Nest Drop said it would appeal the injunction, saying its operation simply connected legitimate patients with legitimate medical marijuana dispensaries. The decision marked a victory for city attorney Mike Foyer, who said Nest Drop was circumventing the provisions of Proposition D, which limits the number of medical pot dispensaries in the city and regulates their operation. Nest Drop co-founder Michael Pitcher contends his service does operate legally. The company released a YouTube video on Friday asking supporters of the service to share their stories about how medical marijuana delivery has helped them. Pitcher said, quote, "The patients who need medical cannabis the most are the ones who might not be able to drive and therefore need it brought to them, and we can help with that," end quote. Illinois officials have posted emergency rules spelling out how the state's medical marijuana program will be extended to children under a law taking effect January 1st. The Department of Public Health posted the regulations online Tuesday. Children with certain health conditions, including seizures from epilepsy, will be able to use non-smokable forms of marijuana, but they will need two doctors to sign forms certifying they think the patient will benefit. The rules expand a medical marijuana advisory board to include a parent or caregiver of a patient under age 18 and a medical professional with experience in pediatrics. The emergency rules are in effect for 150 days. A draft of permanent rules will be published later, which will trigger a 45-day public comment period. Colorado's cannabis shops are reaping more than $500,000 in rebated sales tax revenue in 2014, thanks to timely payment to the taxman. The refunded money from the state's so-called vendor fee, a 79-year-old agreement the state made with its businesses, suggests the state's marijuana businesses are achieving an important goal, that of becoming more establishment, despite the extra hurdles they face in the marketplace. The majority of states with a statewide sales tax have an equivalent to Colorado's vendor fee, which rewards all businesses, not just pot shops, for the prompt payment of taxes by letting them keep a percentage of them each month. Colorado's vendor fee, which allows businesses to keep 3.3% of the 2.9% state sales tax, dates back to 1935. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, December 23rd, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Happy holidays and happy Festivus for the rest of us. Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the normal.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Welcome back, everyone. 13 after the hour. And today we go behind the headlines where ABC News is reporting on proposal seeks gun permits for Colorado pot users. This is a subject that we have covered before on the Russ Belville Show in Oregon when it impacted medical marijuana users who were being denied their right to apply for a concealed weapons permit. Federal law has a questionnaire, basically, that you fill out on the application that is usually run by county sheriffs that asks whether or not you're an unlawful user of controlled substances. And of course, under federal law, marijuana is a controlled substance. This had come up with medical marijuana patients in various states arguing that they should have the right to still use their Second Amendment, to be able to use their Second Amendment rights and be able to arm themselves and be able to keep weapons. And this had always run into a roadblock because the patients in those states technically weren't doing anything legal so much as they were being permitted to avoid criminal prosecution. It's kind of a bit of hair splitting, but basically medical marijuana isn't technically legal because in the states that have medical marijuana without legalization, there's still a crime of possessing marijuana. It's just that the medical marijuana law gives you an exemption from being prosecuted for it. So these didn't get very far for most people, although in Oregon, the Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal of one of our courts, or the district court, that had ruled that you couldn't deny people their concealed weapons permit because a state, a county sheriff, isn't in charge of enforcing federal law. Well, now this issue has come to a head thanks to the legalization of marijuana for recreational purpose for anybody over the age of 21 in the states of Washington and Colorado, and now Oregon and Alaska. This is where we come into the ABC story, where the Colorado Campaign for Equal Gun Rights is trying to put together a ballot initiative for the Colorado Constitution to have Colorado ignore guidelines from the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, those guidelines I told you about where they can't sell guns or ammo to someone who's a known drug user. Yeah, it's not just concealed weapons permits. This also can have to do with selling weapons. Gun dealers can be prosecuted if they sell to known drug abusers. So this would change their state law to deny. This does have to do with the concealed carry permits and says that Colorado will be the Colorado sheriffs won't be able to deny someone whether or not they're a user of marijuana. One of the campaign organizers said, it's just ridiculous. Someone can get extremely drunk Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all week if they want, and they can still get a concealed carry permit. That's Edgar Antillion, along with Isaac Chase. They run a firearm business called Guns for Everyone. It's a training business, and they're reaching out to gun rights groups for support. Now, this is also of interest in Colorado because following the shooting at the theater in Aurora, there was a cry for more gun control laws, and some of these controversial laws got passed in Colorado. Some of the representatives who had voted for those laws then were targeted for recall campaigns that were successful. These politicians lost their office due to these recall efforts over this gun issue. So it's a very sensitive thing for politics in Colorado, as it is almost everywhere else in the country, but of particular concern to these Colorado politicians who know that they can be recalled over this issue. So they reach out, the Antillion and Chase reach out to all these former, these groups that were a part of these recall efforts in Colorado and trying to get them to help along with the petitioning effort. They need 86,000 signatures, a little more than that. Of course, you got to collect about twice that if you want to really be safe. So we would get then, 160,000 signatures. That's going to take a lot of money and a lot of help. Well, not everybody's on board with this as far as the gun rights groups goes. The NRA has been silent on the issue of marijuana and guns. I've asked them. I've sent in requests and never gotten much back in response. But the Colorado State Shooting Association is coming out and saying they're opposed to it. They're opposed to letting pot users carry concealed firearms. Tony Fabian is the president of the Colorado State Shooting Association, and he says, quote, federal law prohibits the possession and use of marijuana and its derivatives, and therefore its possession and use is incompatible with legal, responsible firearms ownership. Okay, well, it's legal in Colorado, and you are the Colorado State Shooting Association, right? Right. Not the National Shooting Association, where federal law might make a difference. As if, I mean, not like it's settled law as to what a organization can build their credo on. But still, if you care about Colorado State and you're the Shooting Association for Colorado State and it's legal in Colorado State under the Constitution to possess marijuana, Tony Fabian, how can you not stand up for the legal pot users' Second Amendment rights in Colorado? Now, ABC also reports, and no surprise here, that the county sheriffs of Colorado are against it as well. Well, okay. No surprise there. See, it's okay if you want to be Hunter Thompson up there in Aspen driving drunk and on lots of other things and shooting shit up. We're going to support those rights, but for God's sake, no, not the pot. Oh, not the pot. Persons were asked under oath. Now, this is on the concealed carry application. What they have on there is whether or not you have a restraining order, whether or not you've been convicted of a felony, whether or not you've been treated for alcoholism for over the past 10 years, and also asked if they're, quote, an unlawful user of, you know, like marijuana, drugs, or any other controlled substance, end quote. And it's processed by the county sheriffs. And they contend it's federal law, Federal law says that it's illegal, and therefore the county sheriffs can't do a thing about it.
I can't do reefer comedy. I'm drunk. Two different animals.
All right. Welcome to our last 420 break for the Mountain Time Zone. Checking out folks in the chat room. Yeah, we're working on a high def presentation now, and I'll get the low definition streams up as soon as I figure out how to make them both work at the same time. Right now I'm beta testing the high def. Switch to tune in for the audio if that makes it better for you. My apologies. We're back after this.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. The Jody Emery Show with Jody Emery from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Replaying Fridays at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here for the Canador, a practical solution to keep herbs from drying. The Canador is the perfect airtight storage system for your fine herbs, from the half-inch thick walnut and cherry wood construction, clear top perforated jars for storage, and the humidity bead system that keeps your herbs at a perfect 65% relative humidity. I keep all my herbs in the Canador, and you should too. Check out Canador.com for more information. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 22 and a half after the hour. And today in the Drug War Data Mine, we're taking a look at this great interactive map that's produced by Oregon Live. And it's a fantastic look at a precinct by precinct, I mean, all the way down to the tiniest precincts in the big cities, of the voting patterns for Measure 91. And you can also look up the voting patterns for governor and Measure 92, which is the GMO labeling ballot measure that we had that lost by the narrowest of margin, like 800 votes or something like that. It's really tiny, tiny margin. So the maps are color-coded in the governor's race between blue and red. Blue for Governor Kitzhaber, who run a historic fourth term. Red for Dennis Richardson, the Republican. And one of the things you'll notice about Oregon is how it's divided, you know, pretty much here in this range where the Cascade Range is. And that from that point east, it's very rural and very Republican. You may notice I'm hitting these big counties, and you're only seeing, you know, a few thousand votes. Like Harney County is a, you know, 2,700 votes in that particular county. So very sparsely populated, giving you a distorted view of just how much support there is, because you see a lot of land mass, but it's not really a lot when you talk about the population centers. For example, when we zoom to Portland, the population center there, almost completely blue, and the darker blue, the more they voted for the Democrat. Salem, Oregon, the capital, mostly blue, a little 50-50. Albany, Corvallis, which is the Oregon State University area, very blue. Eugene, Oregon, of course, University of Oregon, very blue. Bend, Oregon, in Central Oregon, where our friend Speed Limit is from, very blue. Roseburg in Southern Oregon. Now, Southern Oregon, very Republican, but Roseburg at least comes out 50-50, you know, pretty white in those areas. Medford, Ashland, again, Southern Oregon area. Ashland is kind of a artistic enclave, so they vote very blue as well. So those are the population centers, which you can see. And much like any other state, the population centers tend to be more blue. In the Measure 91 race, they color-coded it purple if you were against marijuana, and green if you were for marijuana. And those pretty much line up with the way the Republican and Democratic voting went. Zooming, looking at the eastern portion of the state, again, we get, you know, very anti-pot voting patterns. But as we zoom into the Portland area, Portland is almost completely green. You have to look hard to find any place around Portland that is not a green precinct. And we'll actually zoom in on our precinct here at Rolla J Studios, 3608 Northeast 75th Avenue here in Portland. And there's our spot right there. And my precinct voted 75.4% in favor of Measure 91. Of those 1,655 votes, I am one of them. And you can scroll all around the city and the state to be able to find these things. Again, Portland, you can find districts there. I found one district earlier where there was one vote, and it was for marijuana. So all of these, and it goes county by county, and you can find what the voting patterns were. Salem, Oregon, very much for Measure 91. Albany, Corvallis, again, pro-marijuana. Eugene, no surprise, pro-marijuana. Bend, pro-marijuana. Roseburg. Now, remember, Roseburg was a district that, you know, in the Republican-Democrat came up, there was no Democrat. But at least in Douglas Precinct 22, there was a majority support for Measure 91. So one district that did vote for marijuana legalization. Medford Ashland, again, much greener than it was blue. Even though these areas went Republican, you can see that they went and voted for marijuana legalization. GMO labeling ended up breaking just about the same way across the state and using another green-purple designation, although it was harder to find support for Measure 92. It didn't get as much support as Measure 91, so some darker purple out in the farming areas of the state, the eastern Oregon areas. Zooming into Portland, you would expect that the GMO labeling would pass, but it didn't get passage as great as the marijuana measures. Although here, there's some of those small districts. There's Washington Precinct 325, where two out of two votes went for the Measure 92 GMO labeling. Out to Salem, again, not as much support for Measure 92 as for marijuana legalization. Albany, Corvallis. Albany didn't support it. Corvallis was light support. Eugene, greater support, which you might expect from a college town. Bend, some good support there in the Bend area. Roseburg, no support whatsoever in southern Oregon, although a little 50-50 in that same district that supported marijuana legalization. And Medford, Ashland, good support for the Measure 92. This map's available at Oregon Live. You can find it at gov.oregonlive/election/2014/general/precincts, which I know is a very long URL. It's there on the screen if you'd like that, and we will post it into the chat room following the conclusion of this segment. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Drug War Data Mining.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everyone. Half past, and today for our Festivus celebration, we are going to remember those who passed away this year in 2014 as we move forward into 2015 and we take their legacy with us and continue to fight so that the herb they loved so much could be free for everyone. I'm just glad they managed to live to see two states have legal marijuana. We, of course, began the year with the sad passing of our friend Chris Stereotype Hanley, who is one of our chat room moderators and came along to a few of our events when we were out live at Cannabis Cups. Jim Dement, Big Jim, was a big fan of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour and the Russ Belville Show out there in Alabama, died fighting for what he believed in. And of course, Rob Graywolf Denman, who passed away this year, our friend who was originally from Colorado, made his way to Oregon, participated in so much in 420 Radio. We will always remember. And of course, we lost Robin Williams.
Right now, and already in BC, they're lighting torches going, "We're waiting." Come on, you folks, just came from Capitol Hill. Come on down. Where do you go? How are you, my friends? Grab some seats. You were caught in. What? Oh, that's your old boss. Did you fuck him? Sorry. Okay. Not an inappropriate question to ask in Washington. No. And he's going, "No, no! She was just a page. It's okay." And it's weird, in California this summer, all the state parks caught on fire, which was sad because these parks are full of weed. It's bad news. It's like, even the guys fighting the fires are like, "Oh my God, make another rainbow, Tommy. Oh my God, it's weird." Even Smokey the Bear is going, "Only you can." Shit, I knew this. And California weed is kick-ass fucking weed. This is weed that even Jamaicans go, "Oh, don't smoke that weed, man." It's California catatonic. It's the type of weed you hit it and it's like, "Fuck. Shit. I'm not doing something. What is it? All right, breathe." Ah! And you get so stoned, you end up sitting on your couch for a week to the point where your cat's going, "Get up, you asshole! I've been eating my own shit for the last 2 days. I know mellow, but this is fucking ridiculous." And if they legalize it, they're going to have to regulate it, and they're going to have to put a warning on a box of joints. It's going to have to say, "Surgeon General has determined this will make your music awesome. Even Yanni. And if you thought you enjoyed cartoons before..." Like, and if they're going to have ads, they're going to have ads, and it'll be like, instead of the Marlboro Man, it'll be the Mendocino Man. It'll be a cowboy in the back of a horse going, "Shit, am I thirsty, goddamn." Even the horse will be going, "I don't know where the fuck I am. Goddamn, I got a little cotton mouth here, goddammit."
Great Robin Williams. And we also lost actor James Garner, who in his memoir, The Garner Files, wrote, "I started smoking marijuana in my late teens. I drank to get drunk, but ultimately didn't like the effect. Not so with grass. Grass is smooth. It had the opposite effect from alcohol. It made me more tolerant and forgiving. I smoked marijuana for 50 years. I don't know where I'd be without it. It opened my mind to a lot of things, and now its active ingredient, THC, relaxes me and eases my arthritis pain. I've concluded that marijuana should be legal and alcohol should be illegal, but good luck with that."
We can go to smoke. We need a cul-de-sac. Look for a cul-de-sac. Look at this.
This is nice and it's quiet.
This place is aching for some weed smoking.
You think we're gonna be safe?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Keep your eye out for cops. Okay, all right.
There are little pipes.
I got the pipe.
What is this?
This is Louis the 13th.
So that doctor was cute. Did he liked you?
Oh, he didn't like me. Nobody likes me. Only men that are interested in my body are morticians. Come on.
It smells good.
Give me a pipe. Give me a pipe.
Oh, these are okay. Ready now. Suck it in while I light it. Oh my God. Are you stoned? Wait, is it stoned?
No, I'm not stoned.
You're getting there. Here, hold on. Okay. Oh, wait. They come. Okay, go. Suck it. Are you not suck it in? You're not sucking it in.
Last time someone told me to suck it in the car, it was 40 years ago. Now I'm not feeling anything yet.
I'm getting the contact.
Oh, God. I'm feeling so relieved.
Another great that we lost this year was Harold Ramis, who might not be associated with marijuana himself so much, but boy, anybody who's a pot smoker loved the movies that he put out. Stripes, Ghostbusters, so many, too many to really name. He once was interviewed by GQ and said, I really didn't want to get drafted. So I went down to the physical and checked every psychological disorder and drug on the medical history form. Of course, I'd also taken the precaution of taking a massive dose of methamphetamine before I went. I don't think the psychiatrist had ever talked to anybody like me. He asked me, "What drugs do you take?" I said, "Well, marijuana, LSD, peyote, MDA, DMT, methamphetamine, dioxin, Ritalin." I just named every drug I could think of. His final question was, "Do you think you'd be happy in the military?" And I said, "I don't think so. Sorry." And of course, just yesterday, we lost this great man.
Seems I've got to have a change of scene. Cause every night I have a strange dream.
John Belushi's classic impersonation of Joe Cocker on Saturday Night Live. And speaking of entertainers, we also lost this year Sid Caesar. While Sid Caesar was not at all associated with marijuana, his demon of choice was booze, alcohol. In People magazine 1982, he explained how I began to go heavily with booze when I played in Make Mine Manhattan on Broadway back in 1948. That's when the pressure first got to me. Everybody has a different pattern, and mine was to get smashed in private after work. I didn't unwind. I unraveled. I could always get as many pills as I wanted, even when I would be performing on the road. I'd pass out in airplanes, and there were flights when I would take so many pills that the stewardesses panicked when they couldn't wake me at the destination. We also lost this year Philip Seymour Hoffman, unfortunately, to a heroin overdose. In 2013, TMZ reported that he had just gotten out of detox for a drug problem that was spinning out of control, a problem he desperately wanted to nip in the bud, and he's already back doing a movie. Hoffman says he was at the facility for 10 days and checked out last Friday. Hoffman credits what he calls, quote, a great group of friends and family, end quote, for helping him seek the treatment he needed to get better. And, at least for now, it seems it worked because Hoffman is clean and back on a movie set in Europe. Of course, Hoffman succumbed to his heroin addiction and died this year, 2014. And another person who memorialized Philip Seymour Hoffman and made a stand in the United States Congress against the Drug Enforcement Administration, Representative Steve Cohen.
First, I want to thank you for allowing me to participate. I enjoyed serving under you on Transportation Committee. And secondly, I like to incorporate by reference all of the things that have been said that are politically correct on this issue, as if I said them. And basically, I agree with most of them. And I want to thank the president. I don't think the president has been schizophrenic. The president hasn't gone nearly as far as I would like to see him go on this issue, because it's a freedom issue. But the president has gone somewhat in enlightening the public as to priorities. And as to Louis Brandeis and the laboratories of democracy, and we're on the right path. I would submit, with all due respect to my fellows on the other side, that schizophrenia, which my father was a psychiatrist and taught me something about, could be described as a party that talks about saving money all the time and being concerned with deficits and being totally driven by that, but not being concerned with saving money when people are in jail for marijuana and mandatory minimums that judges have said were awful, and for nonviolent first-time offenders who are serving lifetime sentences in jail, costing us $30,000 a year, and the population of jails has gone up 800% in the last 30 years. That's schizophrenia. You're concerned about cost and cutting costs, but not when it's jailing a population. I think it's schizophrenia when you're all for state issues and preemption and priorities and giving power back to the states, but not when it comes to them having passing laws concerning marijuana. Then you're not for state initiatives and state priorities. And I think there's a certain schizophrenia for a party that talks about civil liberties, but not when it comes to personal liberties on this subject. So sometimes politics makes strange bedfellows, and whether they're in the same bin as McMurphy or not is another issue to be discussed. Mr. Botticelli, your hands are tied on Schedule 1, but it is ludicrous, absurd, crazy to have marijuana in the same level as heroin. Ask the late Philip Seymour Hoffman if you could. Nobody dies from marijuana. People die from heroin. And every second that we spend in this country trying to enforce marijuana laws is a second that we're not enforcing heroin laws. And heroin and meth are the two drugs that are ravaging our country. And every death, including Mr. Hoffman's, is partly the responsibility of the federal government's drug priorities for not putting total emphasis on the drugs that kill, that cause people to be addicted and have to steal to support their habit. And heroin and meth is where all of your priorities should be. And it's not just Mr. Hoffman, a brilliant actor at 46 years of age, who first went to prescription drugs and then came back to heroin. That's our two major issues, I guess. I had a young friend, son of a girl I dated, who died of a heroin overdose about 2 years ago. I went to a party in Memphis recently, not Vermont, where the governor spent his entire State of the State hour address talking about the ravages of heroin in his state, but Memphis, Tennessee, where four women, give or take my age, well, maybe 15 years younger, sometimes I lose perspective, talked about heroin being a great problem among their children and in the Memphis community, and about another young man who had died of heroin. Heroin is getting into the arms of young people. And when we put marijuana on the same level as heroin and LSD and meth and crack and cocaine, we are telling young people not to listen to the adults about the ravages and the problems, and they don't listen because they know you're wrong. Because as Mr. Micah said, we know a lot of young people smoke marijuana. They shouldn't. Young people should be being young people. The most precious commodity in the world is time. Young people have got lots of time. Mr. Micah and I don't have that much more time. That's just the realities. And when you're young, enjoy being young. Playing ball, taking it easy, just doing kids things and learning. And you shouldn't be doing drugs, but they are. And we need to be sure that we keep them alive. We need to educate them. But our efforts ought to be toward meth and heroin. That's where efforts should be. And it shouldn't be Schedule 1. Anybody that goes to jail for marijuana is a crime. when people for possession are taking their liberties away. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of resources. It's a crime committed by our government. There is a cultural lag in this country, and this Congress is a leader in it. My time has expired. I thank the committee for allowing me to express myself. I will participate in questioning.
It doesn't get any better than Congressman Cohen there. I think his presentation was fantastic, something that we will see much more of in the coming Congress, I'm sure. It's getting harder and harder for them to argue against this, and we have a lot of you to thank for calling and writing your elected officials. Log on to normal.org or find your local Normal chapter. You can get more involved. Legalization, it's up to you. We're back with the airing of the grievances for this Festivus right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Psst, I got some good pot for you.
No.
Cocaine?
No, thanks.
Yo, my man, you want some ludes?
No way. If someone offers you drugs, instead of saying something you really don't mean, just say, no.
Got some Sensimillion for you.
No. No. No big production number. Just say, no. You'd be surprised how well it works.
Pot?
No.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. At Royal Queen Seeds, we've got premium feminized cannabis seeds, including auto-flowering varieties for the medical cannabis user. We've got bulk shipments available and new CBD oil. Plus, we accept payment in Visa, MasterCard, and Bitcoin, as well as other methods. Check out our website at royalqueenseeds.com for more information. We are located in the Netherlands, and we have online grow experts ready to help you now at royalqueenseeds.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everybody. 48 and a half after the hour, and today in the rant, it is Festivus, December 23rd, and we've got some airing of grievances to happen here, and I think my number one grievance for 2014, and one that is now on the minds of many people across this country, is the militarization and the predatory nature of our police in this country. These recent days have been marked by the protests in New York and cities all across the country that have started in Ferguson, Missouri, over the shooting of unarmed black man Michael Brown. They spread when there was the Eric Garner case of the unarmed black man being choked to death. And people recoiled in horror at the case in Cleveland of Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old boy with a play gun who was shot in 2 seconds by the police that approached. Now we have another sad tale to report out of Houston, Texas, where Jordan Baker, who is a young black man, a father, and a resident of Houston, Texas, was killed this year, January 16th. He was stopped by an off-duty cop. Off-duty cop who was working as a security guard because he looked suspicious. Jordan was unarmed and he was shot and killed. And more telling about this story is not the individual incident. And I know people hear these terrible tragic tales, the Garner case, the Michael Brown case, the Tamir Rice case, and they like to think that these are unfortunate incidents or that there's a few bad apples out there or some sort of way of excusing or minimizing this behavior. And folks, if it were a few bad apples, that would be great news, because then we could do something about just those few bad apples. And we could say that the failure to indict here or failure to go after these few bad apples is the problem. And we'll muster enough political will to want to go after the few bad apples the next time. But that's ignoring the forest for the trees. What we're dealing with is a systemic problem. We're dealing with cases that become so cookie cutter and so commonplace that it would seem that there is an active element to this, that people are actively involved in doing this and training officers to do these things. Let me just give you the rundown on this Houston story and see, as you hear it, what sounds familiar to you, if it all sounds familiar. According to Officer Juventino Castro, Houston Police Department Officer Juventino Castro killed Jordan Baker, the unarmed black man. The grand jury refused to indict. The grand jury has refused to indict. Does that sound familiar to anyone out of the cases you've heard about recently? And in Houston, there are nearly 300 such cases where a grand jury in Houston has let police officers off the hook in the case of excessive use of force. Now, once again, if it were a few bad apples, then statistically speaking, out of a barrel of 300, you'd think a grand jury could pick at least one out that was rotten to the core and do something about it. That's what I'm talking about. It has nothing, well, it has a lot to do with individuals, but it also has a lot to do with this system that these individuals know they can operate in with impunity. Statistically speaking, out of 300 cases going before a grand jury, you would not expect a success rate of 100% on the officer's side. Just statistically, there ought to be at least one or two that got indicted, huh? And of course, and this has been 10 years in Houston since they've had a trial for a police officer for excessive use of force. 10 years. Now, according to Officer Castro, and again, listen to this and see if anything rings a bell. According to Castro, Baker looked suspicious because he was wearing a black hoodie. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the old Trayvon Martin black guy wearing a hoodie must be suspicious theme. Sounds familiar. Castro said that a, quote, brief struggle and foot chase ensued. Again, echoes of the Michael Brown case. Oh, the black man was struggling with you, of course. It never has anything to do with the officer starting any of this for no good reason, violating someone's constitutional rights for no good reason, for no probable cause that any crime has been committed by this person. Although Baker was allegedly running away, at one point he, according to the cop who killed him, stopped and decided to charge the officer while reaching into his waistband. That's when Castro killed him. Again, sounds a lot like the Michael Brown case, doesn't it? So, a guy gets in a fight with a cop, or a guy who says he's a cop, he's a security guard, remember. He's an off-duty cop working as a security guard around the mall. And runs away, but then stops and turns to go fight him. And reaches into his waistband, even though he's not, he's got no weapons on him. He's got no gun to go for. Just like the description we heard from Officer Darren Wilson about Michael Brown. Although Michael Brown was shot at and had already been hit when supposedly he ran away, then turned around and turned to run and attack the police officer. And reaching in his waistband as he did so, which of course meant that there must have been a gun there, so he had to be shot and killed. Now, maybe this is just coincidence. Two cops roughing up black guys that aren't armed but run away and then run back and charge as if they are armed. Maybe it's just coincidence. Or maybe, given what we've reported here on this show about such training agencies as Desert Snow and the 420 Group and their huge intelligence network that they're running called Black Asphalt, where they share and exchange tips and information with each other. Do we know that this training doesn't include how to frame the story to get away with it? How many times have you ever seen video YouTube, you know, where someone's filmed police brutality going down, like the officer who kicked the lady in the head while she was handcuffed, pregnant lady in the head while she was handcuffed sitting on the curb. If you've ever seen these videos on YouTube and they've got audio with them, you'll almost always hear the police saying, stop resisting, do not resist, stop resisting, stop resisting, stop resisting. And they'll be saying that to people who aren't resisting, to people who are going limp and not resisting. It's because they've been trained to do that. It's because they've come to realize that if they say that in the video, the lawyer can then, in the court case, if God forbid there ever is one, they can claim that they had to use excessive force because the subject was resisting, even if the subject wasn't resisting. This is where we need to start training ourselves on some of these techniques. Unfortunately, we don't have a police union to tell us to fight for us, to lie for us. But you can check out the folks at flexyourrights.org. They've got a lot of good information. You can check out the American Civil Liberties Union. They've got a lot of good information on how to protect yourself and to understand what your rights are in dealing with police. And I would add, always carry something with you that can record. I don't leave my house without my cell phone for that very reason. I will always have something on me that can record. And if the cops do start arresting you, in addition to not, resisting them, tell them you're not resisting. I am not resisting. I am not resisting. I am not resisting. And let's see if that goes our way for once. That would be my grievance for 2014, is that it's taken this long for the American people to come to recognize what's been going on with the police in our country. Something those of us who've been fighting in the drug war have recognized for years now, for over a decade or two, because it's been employed against us. We've seen the armored personnel carriers. We've felt the battering rams breaking down our doors, and we've had the guns shoot and kill our family, our loved ones, our pets. So welcome to our world, America. And in 2015, now that it's somebody you care about, now that it's gotten political attention, now that it's not just the druggies, maybe we can do something about this together. Thanks, everybody, for making 2014 the best year yet in 420 Radio and the Wes Belleville Show. 2015 is promising to be better still. 6 different domestic cannabis cups, Seattle Hemp Fest, all sorts of business conferences. We'll be there for you, streaming live. We'll see you back here in January. First Monday of January, we're back, 3 p.m. Pacific. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it, you